Is Happy Black Friday a thing? I guess it is. Maybe it's a thing. I don't know. It's Black Friday. And if you're going to endure, you know, heading out, good for you, you know, supporting the economy. But I'm curious to see, you know, how much fun that will be today. Will you go more online? Maybe let us know. But good morning. Steve Lloyd, last day in for JR. JR is back next week. Simmer Hammer here. Good morning, Simmer. How are you?
I'm excellent, and I plan on supporting the LCBO along with a couple of local restaurants here, and that'll be the extent of the shopping I'm going to end up doing.
Okay. Hammer?
I will not be. Well, online shop, that's for Cyber Monday. Don't forget. That's your online shopping day.
Isn't everything online shopping?
Sure enough. Yes.
Pretty much,
absolutely.
Right?
But try to shop local if you can. If you can get out there and have a little strut down a street or something like that, go enjoy. And support the mom, Pasha.
Yeah, and best thing you can do, you're giving out little gift cards or anything else, guys. Yeah, why don't you grab them from the local restaurants or local businesses or whatever nowadays, right?
Yes.
Instead of the big box things, and imagine old Amazon, which contributes absolutely zero. No, certainly to the economy as far as some employment, but as far as taxes and anything else, boy, oh boy. Yeah, get out and, I mean, hey, if you're thinking of things to do with couples or friends or family, just get out and support a nice local restaurant. That's the best thing to do.
And it's always Takeout Friday at our place. We always do it anyway, so it's going to be Takeout Friday.
And you know what? When it comes to buying anything, guys, in a normal trend, not that I'd buy a ton of clothes, might get some stuff for mirror or get some stuff, but can we be completely honest that there's no need for new clothes at this point in our life? There is nowhere to go. What in your ensemble? Like, Lloyd, you've been home for 3 years. Have you even changed, you know, the pants or whatever you got? Like, what's the attire on a daily basis here?
Not going to lie. Sometimes, it gets to the point in the day. It's like, you know what? I probably should change just for posterity.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, some days I'm really not venturing very far at all. Okay. So, and funny, you should ask. Hammer asked me this off air yesterday about my attire.
Yeah.
And, basically, you know, when I'm
open
with you guys.
Open robe is what I heard back.
The old, hey, what do you got on?
the alarm goes off and I sneak downstairs.
Yeah.
And you know, it's basically I go long, you know, jammy pants basically. Okay.
Yeah.
And whatever T-shirt was.
Yeah. No. Fire it up. Yeah.
And that's the look here. I've got a little. What do I got on here? I got a little O'Neill. Okay.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
I think doing morning radio, in essence, your life comes full circle. Basically, the way I dress is the same way I dressed when I was in high school. You know, college, weekends, pro hockey.
You know what?
I mean, that's really in essence, that's exactly what it is. I have a rotation of 3 to 4 pairs of track pants. I have now 5 to 10 black T-shirts. And hey, rotate it around. Make sure you're warm and comfy. And as JR always said, and it's so true, radio doesn't matter what you look like. It's only how you sound. Really, nobody cares. And nobody, not that anybody sees us anyway, right?
I was just had a flashback as well. When I was living in a dorm many years ago, the thing was that every student seemed to have stolen some hospital scrubs at some point.
Okay, became a big deal,
And would wear that to class, and that's what you wore every day.
Yeah.
It was like, you talk about mailing in, you know, what you look like, right?
That was some ridiculous fashion statement at that time. It didn't last very long, but that was silly.
The other thing that became real popular in the 90s was the men's boxers. But these were the true boxers. The gear I wear now is almost like, you know, sports underwear, comfy. These things here, you know, sometimes they'd have the button on the front, sometimes they wouldn't. And if you had a hockey ass, every time you sat down, the front piece would kind of open up. And you know, you do have pants on, but I just remember traveling, and then the friggin' thing would be tight on your leg, and it'd be, you know, riding up your leg. It was never comfortable.
Did you have a few zipper issues with the jeans, Simmer, when you'd sit down with the boxers on? Is that where this is going?
No, I don't think so. Pretty quickly we went to the old button fly pants, which, so no issues there. Just thinking back to the attire, and then again, you guys are not that much younger. Back in the day, the Roots T-shirt was a big deal, or sweatshirt was a big deal, right? All the sweatshirts in, and even then, people were wearing shorts. It felt like almost year round with a pair of flip flops or whatever else. So that was very, very popular.
No, you're really hip if you ended up because there was a bit of a breakaway group from Roots if you got the Beaver Canoe.
Oh, yeah. No, that was very cool. Very strong look back in the day. Also, coming back into Canada, 1998, I bought a Canadian, just had Canada across it, but I think it was the attire for the Nagano Olympics at the time. God, I wore that for about 3 or 4 years, and anywhere you went in the world, everybody always wanted to know where the hell you got it from. Very, very strong look at the time. Solid red with the white letters.
I think I still have the beret that they had that you were supposed to wear backwards, that red beret from Roots for
the Nagano
Games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then we went with the bay look, right, which was really sad.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Hey? I'm like, what in God's name happened? We were actually trending in a cool direction. And then they come out with those white coats with the red and the yellow and whatever the hell else it was, and it just, yeah, not a comfortable look.
Now it's Joe Fresh, isn't it? At the
there it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what the Olympics would be looking like. All right, so you know, I want to hear your Black Friday stories here as well, and it is wrench throwing Friday as well. I got us going off the top. Okay, I saw your the tweet you put out through the at TSN1200 account. Hammer and Simmer, you commented on it. Wrench, because it's Black Friday. I thought of this, and I witnessed this. Oh, shopping! Every day runs into grocery shopping at some point. And it happens all the time now.
Yeah.
Wrench to walking around shopping, talking on your speakerphone guy. I see this all the time.
Nice and loud.
That is a wrench. That's a punch to the throat. That's the Matt Duchene kick in the balls.
Okay.
Call it whatever you want.
All right. Okay? Here you go.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
Oh, man. So if you're going out today and you're supporting local economy and you're doing Black Friday shopping.
Yeah.
Don't be that person, okay? Yeah. What is that important that you're going to walk around and talk on your speakerphone while you're shopping?
I have not seen the speakerphone. What I have seen is people basically doing Zoom calls, right? That's been the
odd
thing.
I've seen that, too.
I can remember a couple of times, too, and this would be the person I used to take the bus in when I was in the afternoons, bus in and taxi back. Who's that person on there having basically not only a conversation on a quiet bus, but having a very distressful conversation, basically, airing out their life's problems.
Yeah, yeah.
And also to the point of, and there were a few people, and hey, everybody's in a little bit of a different spot, but that person that basically feels like going to see the doctor or going to see whoever is kind of their job, like their schedule is so busy based on all the appointments that they have, kind of making it sound like that. I never understood that. Just yelling on the phone, middle of the bus, everything's quiet. Hey, couldn't you wait 5 minutes till you get off the bus? But no, want everybody to hear your problems.
I have a little wrench, too, to throw, and it's in your direction, Steve.
You're going to help me?
Prior to, this is, everything's on
I
the
had
table
a moment.
Here. All cards on the table here, but I'm not going to go into that great a detail. I'm just going to throw a wrench at your terminology, because none of us on this show are below the age of one. When you drop the word poo to me.
Okay, listen.
Hey. Take the wrench.
You know what?
Take the wrench.
A free-for-all of fecal matter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Thank you.
In my defense, I'm talking to you, and you're the king of kind of Flanders-like descriptions
swears.
For things in your life, swears of that nature. You're a very polite young man. You always have been, okay?
But you can go like a number two. You can drop a deuce. You can go something in that respect. But a poo is reserved for a new family.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, little Billy got a poo-poo. It's got a little heater.
It's like he's got one of those kids' potties in the basement using instead of going to the bathroom. Hey?
I don't, man.
Kind of like Donald Trump's desk yesterday in that photo there. It's just like a little kid's table and a kid's chair, and that's what makes me think of poo as a little kid, a toddler.
And the Donald's back on the crazy train again, eh?
Oh. Did he leave?
Oh, I think for a few days he was a little bit.
That's because he didn't say anything.
He's got Rudy out there solving it, eh? Getting everything done for him. Taking care of business.
Oh. You must have the same thing open. I'm just looking at this picture of him sitting at that desk. Whose idea was this?
I know, but I love it.
Like, it's American Thanksgiving yesterday, and it's like, you know, it's the table that you, it's the card table, right? You got the big family, well, not this year, right? You got the big family get together and they get the kids table. He's sitting at the kids table and he's sitting at a toddler chair. Look at the size of the legs on that thing.
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, first day of kindergarten with your kids and you go in, you bring them in and you sit down, right? You ever have to do that, guy? And you sit down in the chairs to meet the teacher.
Or you
it's kindergarten chairs.
Well, try to get into the old school desk ends up being difficult. Now, let's also realize he's cooking at about, what, 6'2", 6'3", and almost 300 bills. So anything that he's actually a large and in charge guy. So maybe that makes it make it look a little bit smaller. Hey,
maybe. Okay, let's go with that. Yeah, maybe that'll help him out just a little bit here. All right. It's wrench throwing Friday. It's Black Friday. We can have some fun with that. So send it in and I'll try to use more appropriate terminology when I speak down the commercial breaks from now on. All right. Next segment here. Wow. We did get some news from the World Junior Selection Camp, of course, of action. So we'll get into that. And oh, boy, they're not playing the game Sunday, right? Hey, who called that? Hey, I'm going to go full JR and pat myself on the back. That's what JR does sometimes, right? Hey,
sometimes.
So, you give it a little Pierre even. Just say Hammer's got the tapes.
Hey? Didn't we talk about this a million years ago, guys, or yesterday?
You called it all week. Hey?
Okay, Lamar Jackson, he tests positive. There's more players that have tested positive. It's not officially done yet from the NFL, but Harbaugh's told his players don't come in until Monday, so we'll see. We'll probably get some official
news. Yeah, if you have to travel on a Saturday to the game and you're not coming in until Monday, that's pretty easy math that you're not going to be going to Pittsburgh.
2-2 with 22? What? Okay, so I don't think that's going to happen. Steelers, Ravens, look for that not to officially happen. And probably that announcement some point today as well. Oh, and the Thursday nighter, Mike McCarthy. Oh, we got to talk about Mike, don't we? We'll get into that next as well. Here on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Hot seat. Will he make it the next week? And then what happened in the fake punt with the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy and having to answer that. So we'll roll through some of that. And then we'll get into, you know, what's next for the NFL with the Ravens as Lamar Jackson has tested positive for COVID. And he's just one of many others that have tested positive. Maybe there'll be even more positive tests today.
Yeah.
And the Ravens say they're not going to report to the facility until Monday. So just waiting for the official announcement for the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen with the Steelers on Sunday afternoon.
So no, and on a day that you think about eating, the two fat and sloppy coaches are on the hot seat. I mean, that's how you end up summing it up. And with Matt Patricia, it's funny how it goes, and I'll go back to Bull Durham. You know, and he talked about how you're a rookie and you're finding your way, Lloydy. You know what? You got to dress properly. You got to be professional. When you become the winner, like the stud, you know, you can be cool. Matt Patricia, as the defensive coordinator with the New England Patriots, as a fat slob with a pencil in his ear, looked fine. He kind of looked cool. It was somewhat not cool when he, remember when he wore the Roger Goodell t-shirt when they got off the plane in the Super Bowl, the one that had the clown face on him? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm not sure about that look, but the way this guy rolled into Detroit and trying to handle himself like he was Bill Belichick, he just set himself up for failure. And hey, for a franchise, I don't know, switching coaches again, what's going to end up happening? Is it going to be any better? I mean, that franchise right there, along with the Washington Redskins and a few others, been in the toilet for a long time. And as far as the Cowboys themselves, I mean, it's just mass chaos, just absolutely terrible coaching. What was it, 4th and inches, and they end up throwing the ball? I mean, they're just a bunch of things here that are just, you know, you have no chance to win.
All right, let's start with the Cowboys. And we got to start with the only play really that matters. This game, it's the NFC East. Whoever wins this game is going to lead the division for the time being, depending on what the Eagles do coming up here on Monday night. It's in the balance here. It's early in the fourth quarter. It's a 4-point game. And you're on your own 24. It's fourth down, and this is what Dallas decides to do.
Here comes Tim Settle.
Oh, they're going to fake punt. Snap it back to Thompson, and he runs a reverse. Coming right, Cedric Wilson, and he's going to lose yardage.
Oh, that was crazy.
Instead of punting the ball away, now from their own 24.
That was crazy.
Instead of just punting the ball away, and they didn't have 5 yards to go.
No.
They had 10 yards to go.
There's no way to look at this. And, well, of course, McCarthy was asked about it after the game, and here's what he had to say.
You won't get anywhere if you're thinking about negatives all the time. You know, obviously it was a solid play call. It's a good play design. It's a play that, you know, if we hit it, obviously we're sitting here applauding. That's the nature of those plays. So you can never convert them, obviously, if you don't call them and if you don't believe in them.
Well, listen, you don't do it on your own 24.
Yeah.
In a four-point game with lots of clock left. You punt the ball.
Yeah. No, and again, Lloyd, same thing. If you're a team that has a winning record, you're winning a game, or you want to try something, that's fine. For a guy like this, first of all, he doesn't instill any confidence in anybody because he doesn't have any confidence himself. You know what I mean? Like, that's the amazing part of it, especially the National Football League. I really believe at the end of the day, the athletes feed off the vibe of the coach, right? And you just feel with your Dallas Cowboys, you know, you're second guessing from the second this happens. What in God's name are you thinking? I mean, these things are so simple. You're in a position now where you may have handed over the opportunity to make the playoffs in the worst division in football. And I'll also say, I mean, you know, to call it baby steps, but even from as bad as this was early on, did we not both think, or did we not all think that this is going to be Dallas and Philadelphia? In the strangest and wildest world, it's actually the Redskins and the Giants that are now making some forward progress. Do you know what I mean? Like the Washington Redskins finally have a bit of a foundation of something decent happening, as do the Giants. In the case of the Cowboys, the bad energy all the way around. Now, start with any of their star players, including Zeke Elliott, and go right to the coach. I mean, that's all that is there right now. This guy is absolutely analysis to paralysis, and he's, again, he's a terrible coach. This is a bad, bad situation. And the great part, if you're a fan of the other teams, he's probably going to be back next year, Lloydy.
Well, I don't know. Well, if they just absolutely tank the rest of this season, like win maybe one more game,
yeah.
Do you not think you just eat that money for Jerry Jones and you move on?
It sure doesn't sound like it, but I know what you're saying. I would think so, that you would say, listen, first of all, we got to get Dak Prescott under contract. We want to turn the page or do something different. But in Dallas land, and I know what owners say and what the owner's son says doesn't mean anything right now, Lloydy, but they've certainly doubled down a few times that, hey, he's just trying to get his new plan in. There's no way for sure he'll be the coach. Do I think at the end of the day there's enough pressure and after the stupidity yesterday he'll get fired? I do. But as I said, I wouldn't be, I guess, completely shocked if they card him back, because that's their mentality. That's how stubborn they are.
All right, let's go back to the earlier game here. So, and by the way, after that... Like, it's a four-point game. It's 20-16. If you weren't watching the game, it was bizarre to watch in real time. And then it was laughable to see what happened directly afterwards well.
Yeah.
Washington went on to score 21 straight points to end the game.
Yeah,
it's 22-16 early in the fourth quarter. It ends up 41-16 final score.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just – and it was the very next play, Gibson gets one of his three touchdowns. After – turning it over on downs, immediately it's a touchdown, and it just rolled from there. So, all right, we'll see what happens with McCarthy and the Cowboys still to come. But
do you know who the last rookie was to get three touchdowns on Thanksgiving Day?
Randy Moss, 1998.
Nice. Hey? That was solid. These stats that are thrown out, I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting company. And I was also scrambling because I knew on my bench I had a running back from the Washington Football Club, but unfortunately it was not that fella.
No? No, that was a good job by you then.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey?
Well, hey? I'm glad. Yeah, I'd rather that it was if he's on my bench, then it wouldn't help me anyway.
All right, hang on. Cards on the table. I don't play fantasy football, but I understand.
Okay.
You got to set your rosters. Did you forget to set everything this week because of the games, multiple games on Thursday?
Oh,
are you that guy?
Oh, not at all. No,
okay.
No.
So you consciously made this decision to leave, you know, have that bench situation.
Oh, no. The other running back's terrible, the one that I have. No.
Okay.
Oh, no. The app that we have, I roll. Here's what happens on mine. When I win, I really get really excited, and I keep looking at the waiver wire, looking at my roster. When I lose, by about Monday morning, I want to quit, and I'm at the point. I'm 5-6. I had a couple of weeks left. The only satisfaction, I'm going against JR this week, and I've taken him down four times in a row, so knock on wood if I could win one more. But I actually really enjoy the app. What I also did is I made a completely one-sided trade to help out our good friend Steve Bunda. So I'm not going to end up making the playoffs at the end of the day, Lloydy. But as far as setting that, I got my picks in for the pick and pool. Do that every week. And as far as my roster itself, the app is so easy that we end up using with ESPN. I actually have a lot of fun with it. So there's never been a time that I would end up doing that.
Are you a pariah in this pool now? Because people hate it when you give like an obvious lopsided trade. Everybody else in the pool gets upset.
No, it has to be approved by everybody. It wasn't that crazy. I also, at the end of the day, realized probably not going to end up making the playoffs. And I'd be quite honest with you, if anybody's going to win this year, I'd like to see old King Kong win. That's all.
Everybody else was okay. I guess they're all rooting for King Kong.
I even sent our good friend, a shout out to our good friend Jeff Hopper as well. I said, Hops, hey, I'm open for business, so love to help you out as well, brother.
Look at you, eh? Yeah. You're like a, the what's it the I'm gapping on the name. Is it the Morissette brothers in the queue?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah,
right.
For sure,
and they would just trade their entire team at the deadline if somebody had a better chance.
Well, at one point they owned Laval, and then the other one owned the Acadia Bathurst. They also owned Granby at one time. One of the funniest Memorial Cups I ever went to was one of the first ones was in Laval. It was Kamloops, North Bay with Bert Templeton, and it was Laval. The coaching staff was Michelle Therrien and Bob Hartley. So you think about a gong show that was, and this is the one, I don't know if you remember the reports back in the day where the Morissettes attacked the referee in the parking lot.
It was
honestly, and you talk about old school toughness. And shout out to anybody if you're on Amazon Prime, get an opportunity to watch the Bob Probert documentary. Really takes you back, Lloydie. And that Memorial Cup, I believe Chris Murray was a fighter for Kamloops. There was a McLaren kid for North Bay, and it was Sylvain Blouin. And talk about some heavyweight battles and some great hockey back in the day. And Kamloops won one of, I think they're three consecutive. That would have been the whole Don Aginla, Nolan Baumgartner, Darcy Tucker crew with Kamloops back in the day.
Chris Murray, briefly a member of the Ottawa Senators, and quite the character. That's
He was the first one. Him and Razor were the first ones to do the shirt thing, right, where the jersey would come off. Because Murray wasn't that big of a guy, and even for Rob Ray, when I go back and watch Rob Ray and Junior, he had to fight the likes of Ty Domi and so many tough guys here. Everybody, Belleville had tough teams back then. To Kingston, he was playing in Cornwall. You talked about yesterday trying to adapt. If you had watched Rob Ray playing Junior, Lloydie, you would have never thought he'd go into the National Hockey League and basically become a heavyweight, right, and take on that role. But so much of his sequence or his ability was that whole jersey coming off, right, because Razor wasn't that big of a guy in comparison to a lot of the guys he was fighting.
There are certain things in sports when rules come in and you know exactly why the rules come in, right? The offside challenge came in because of the Matt Duchene play in Nashville because the linesman missed it so badly. The reason why we have the tie down rule in the NHL is basically the Rob Ray rule.
Let's get right down to it, right?
Yeah. Like that was basically the flashpoint. Listen, we can't have guys getting half naked on the ice.
Well, and not only that, you think about the brawl between Montreal and Philly back in the day before the playoff game. The thing at Chris Nyland you talked to, the fear was not only that Dave Brown came back on the ice, Dave Brown has come back on the ice with no jersey on. I got nothing to hold on to. Like trying to fight somebody like that as well, Lloydie. Now, you also mentioned, hey, first of all, it's a bad look. Secondly, you hit the ice, and God forbid you ever get a skate. But honestly, for the guys that are trying to fight these guys, not being able to hold on to anything is a huge disadvantage and a scrap.
All right. Boy, that was a detour. I wanted to stay with the football. That was good, though. I want to get here. Here's Matt Patricia. I'll bring it back to the topic we started with here. That's all good, though. Yeah. Matt Patricia post-game on his job security.
You know, my focus, every day is on the guys in that locker room, and working as hard as I can to help those guys be successful. So it's really not outside of that. I don't think outside of that. I don't worry outside of that other than just trying to do the best job I can every day, to help everybody be successful.
And here's quarterback Matt Stafford dodging the question about Patricia's future.
It's not my decision. That's for somebody else. You want to ask me about the game, you can ask me about the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ringing endorsement there from the starting quarterback.
Yeah, he went on. I heard one of the other quotes coming in just said, listen, I like Matt. I respect Matt. What are you going to say? And also do you consider Matt Stafford to be a good quarterback?
You know what? I was thinking about that, Simmer.
Because he's one of these guys that puts up a lot of points on a really bad team, and he can throw the ball, has never managed it well, but he's just been on god-awful teams. Would he be good on a better team?
You're right. And I look at him, and the skill set that he has, some of the numbers he's been able to put up on just – awful teams with awful stability in Detroit.
He's taking a beating, Lloydie. He's obviously a pretty tough fella as well, right?
You're right. You wonder if he could ever get out of Detroit while he still has some game left here. Yeah. What would he be like if you plopped him into a situation? Okay, let's say this. How much better would the Patriots be this year if they had Stafford and not Cam Newton?
Would that make a difference? Well, I still think as far as offensive weapons, there's a big issue there. But, I think Cam Newton is really at the time here as far as his ability. Certainly physically still has some tools in the legs. I don't think the arm is there, but very slow to react. So, they'd be a little bit better. I would even look around and I would say, hey, in comparison to career-wise, how would you compare him to Philip Rivers? And Philip Rivers Rivers has gone into a better situation in Indianapolis. He's never been able to win. He's always put up good numbers. You look at that situation and think, I would think that's a bit of a comparable.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's we'll take a break. I thought maybe we'll get right in, but we're probably going to spend a little bit more time on this. So the biggest story in the NFL is, well, biggest story in sports these days is COVID, yeah. Right? And the biggest story in the NFL is how COVID is affecting the Baltimore Ravens right now. Lamar Jackson, the reigning league MVP, has contracted COVID along with numerous other teammates. They're well into the double digits with their players and staff since Sunday night now. Having tested positive for the virus, game postponed till Sunday. It's supposed to be played last night against the Steelers, and now it doesn't look like Sunday's not going to happen. So we'll touch on that coming up next here on TSN Mornings of TSN 1200. All right, so here's the nuts and bolts of what's going on with the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the biggest name in the league, really, to contract COVID-19 so far, the reigning league MVP. That news came out, like, during the Cowboys' debacle loss, as it turned out, to Washington last night. Other members of the Ravens testing positive. There was supposed to be that nightcap game with the Steelers. It had already been postponed till Sunday, and now that's not going to happen. So where do we stand? Okay, now it's nothing official from the NFL yet, but Harbaugh has told his players do not come to the facility until Monday. Supposed to play at Heinz Field on Sunday. As Simmer said, I was told there'd be no math, but that's pretty easy math.
Yeah.
If you're told to stay away till Monday, you're not going to play Sunday. So we'll wait for official word from the NFL on that. Meanwhile, here is ESPN's Adam Schefter on the game Sunday.
If you ask the NFL, the league has said up until tonight that the game would be on Sunday at 1:15 Eastern, but that was before four more players tested positive and one more Ravens staffer tested positive. Now we've got close to a dozen players who have tested positive. We've got a number of staffers that have tested positive. And I think in the health and safety interests, that it's hard to play the game when John Harbaugh, the head coach, told his players on Thanksgiving night that they're not going to be allowed back into the building until Monday at the earliest. So if they're not allowed back in the building until Monday at the earliest, you can only imagine how difficult it would be to play a game on Sunday. So there are a lot of questions right now. The Ravens have their point of view. The league has got their point of view. The Pittsburgh Steelers have their point of view. And it's up to somebody to bring this all together and make it work out in a fair and justifiable way.
Well, I know that, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool, to name a couple, you know, had some and criticism came their way, and Claypool called it a joke. Actually, he bumped that tweet again last night after the Jackson news. So obviously his it's a joke or what a joke, whatever he said, is more directed at maybe the Baltimore Ravens not, you know, taking care of their own house here.
Yeah,
maybe
for sure.
Costing the chance here. So, if you're Pittsburgh at this point, you don't want to play them. Do you really want to play the Baltimore Ravens when they got this kind of an outbreak here? If the NFL said, no, you can still play. You just got to play more backups. And no thanks, right?
Well, I don't know. Again, I guess as far as the comfort in the testing, if you had to play on Sunday, Lloydy, I'd be thrilled to play them without a lot of their best players, get the W. But you'd also, and again, kind of look into the story and you go back to what happened when they lost their bye week, when they ended up against the Titans. I would start to look at this and wonder, in the National Football League, you know, you're going to try to scramble, and I'm assuming you reschedule, but at what point do we also, if it's widespread as far as protocol, and they've already talked about a strength coach not doing it, at what point do you say you actually forfeit the game? That it has to at some point. We are, what is it, week 12? The final game of the regular season is January 3rd. Final weekend, sorry. And I know they have some built-in mechanisms and some things to do. But
they can push it a week.
I don't think it's far-fetched either of, hey, just get whatever players you can. I couldn't care less. It's your fault. Or, Pittsburgh gets the W, and there's all of a sudden the Baltimore Ravens now sitting at 6-5.
All right, so you brought up forfeit. Here's what Schefter had to say on maybe a potential forfeit.
We are past the byes outside of Tampa Bay and Carolina, which haven't had their byes. We are past Thanksgiving Day games.
Okay.
We are well into the season.
I'll throw you into the bus and go to the next one. All right. There's. Did you get that, Hammer? As Hammer clicked the wrong one.
Thank you.
I will throw one to the bus and get to the next one. Here's what Schefter had to say on the Ravens and a potential forfeit.
I think that they talked about Tennessee, and the league looked into Tennessee, and ultimately the league determined that the violations were not as egregious. Now, again, here's the thing. The league was the organization that had the Ravens go back to work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday when they were trying to work virtually. So, again, in a case like this, we always want to assign blame and say, oh, this is the person that's responsible. And the Ravens did discipline one of their strength and conditioning coaches who has contributed to this. But I don't know how the NFL determines, oh, boy, this qualifies as a forfeit situation. Like, that's extreme to me.
Sure.
Extreme to me. But I'm not making those decisions.
That's an interesting point he brings up. It's the NFL said, no, you guys are good to go. Get back into work when they were working virtually.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, Lloydie, I think for the National Football League, however this is handled in the end, as we saw with the National Hockey League, not everything's going to be fair. They're 5 weeks to the finish line, and I just wonder at what point here, like I said, do you make a decision of, okay, time to hunker down here. We need to finish up the regular season. If the majority of the teams have to go into their own bubble for the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, handle it, get through to the playoffs, and then the playoffs, what do you have, 14 teams? And then quickly, obviously, it's dwindled down. Is that what you're going to look at? And I would say from a player standpoint, in wanting to get my game checks and get the season done, because as I said, I just wonder also from the United States as far as timing. The numbers the last month have been bonkers. As we get past this Thanksgiving weekend, are we going to see these continue to go to record levels in the next couple of weeks? That has to make the National Football League very nervous.
Well, and I just wonder, it's a real possibility. You talk about, like, we're expanding the postseason for the first time anyway, this NFL season, and there is a plan in place that if they had to cut the regular season short because of COVID, that they would even add another team each.
To
each conference. As mentioned, we are through the bye weeks here. They are totally out of wiggle room here, except for they do have a plan. They could push the regular season back a week and push the playoffs back a week, and that's it. So they are pretty much out of options at this point. Either you go down the forfeit road, or you gotta cut short maybe the regular season if they have another problem or two. And you know, we're not even quite to December here, Simmer, and as you've pointed out this week, and you know, it's Thanksgiving and holiday season, and it's already out of control in the United States right now.
For sure.
You know, what's it going to be like next week with numbers pouring in?
Yeah, and also you look at this game and this matchup for where Baltimore is at right now, it would still have been a huge draw, as you pointed out, even if it's played on a Sunday. If you decided, okay, let's get to the end of the year and then let's just play the game or not play it, well, if the Ravens at that point aren't in the playoffs and the Steelers are going for an unbeaten season, I still don't think there's much appeal to it. So you have lost, and this is, the biggest part for the National Football League. I don't see them cutting the regular season short and expanding the playoffs only because there's so much money left on the table, Lloydie. I mean, the amount of TV deals they have with multiple networks, they want to get as many of these regular season games in as possible, fulfill that, get the cash, and then go to an expanded playoffs at that point. But it would have to get really radical as far as, again, multiple teams in the situation. But as I said, I think they'd try to do some type of a bubble in individual cities before they'd ever cut it short. Too much cash left on the table.
Yeah, I do. But just to play devil's advocate a little bit, I think there would also be leverage on the other side if the comeback would be, okay, listen, if we don't do this, then there's a chance that we don't play the rest of the season if this gets totally out of control. And the networks certainly don't want that either because they want their programming. They don't want to put on the freaking dog show like NBC had to do last night.
Yeah, and then you'd also say, hey, you know what? I mean, it's also for most of the athletes, it's full recovery. For teams, and if this goes through your locker room and you have to go through it, normal protocol is a couple of weeks, but I think the National Football League is, 5 days? Is actually the turnaround for their athletes?
Yes.
Yeah, so but
which I mean... And they made that, and it's different in the U.S., right? Because next hour we're going to get into what's going on in Red Deer and Alberta right now with the World Juniors. But, you know, they're under their 14-day quarantine, and that's the law, right?
Yeah.
And they're following it here, where in the NFL has been allowed to kind of create their own rules here.
Was that not announced in Ontario or in Canada or at least somewhere else? And, again, I watch so much darn news. Was somebody either provincially or state-wise not talking about changing the protocols, feeling that 14 days was too long? I thought this had been discussed by a lot of medical people saying that there's no need for 14 days.
That had been discussed, and they were doing are they still doing the pilot program at the airports in Calgary and Toronto, right, where you could come in and you don't have to quarantine if you come into the country or into the province for 14 days, right? That was brought in, what, about a month ago? I'm not sure if that is still going on, that pilot program, just specifically to those two airports. So we'll see where this all goes. But we know this. Don't count on the game Sunday. We should get official word from the NFL at some point today that Ravens Steelers just ain't going to happen. And what are they going to do with that and try to finagle and rework their schedule? That's the interesting part of this now, just from the schedule standpoint. Yeah. They got to solve it somehow. How are they going to do it?
Yeah, and again, very fortunate. Well, any stadium, but especially a football stadium, there's no other use for it, Lloydie. And as far as shifting it around, we saw good old Dallas yesterday. What, they have 30,000 at their game? You know, they're selling a few tickets, but inventory-wise for most of these stadiums sitting empty. Logistically, other than moving around some TV schedules, not that big of a deal. It's just kind of, hey, how creative do you want to be, and how do you want this to happen? And it would be really interesting, you got to the end of the season, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and they tack this game on to the end of the year, if you're an unbeaten team, how would you end up handling it at that point, right? I mean, and it also for the Steelers who have been whining and complaining, this ends up turning into their bye week.
All right, let's get to some text messages as we close out hour one here, because I asked for them. I better read them here. Hey, mornings. Rents to the NHL for not meeting this week. I need my hockey back. Have a great show. Come from our friend Don in Kanata. Thank you, Don. Yeah, there's not a heck of a lot of news, right? So hopefully we'll get some better news here in the coming days.
Yeah.
As Jan 1, no, hold it on tight. Yeah, I don't think anybody's feeling that right now.
No, interesting. We'll have Eric McCormell on at 9:10, and I thought that was interesting. He brought up yesterday, Lloydie, is quite simply, if they'd suspended the season, you know, would you end up seeing a lawsuit from the NHLPA? So that must be part of their leverage and understanding, hey, we collectively bargained this in good faith. Everybody kind of knew what was coming here. That's your problem now if you don't want to end up putting a season. Hey, this thing's in place here. I'd be interested to get Emac's reaction on that.
Hey, guys, how about the Club Monaco sweaters? Because we mentioned Roots. I mentioned Beaver Canoe. That's another good one from back in the day, Simmer. Had to have the Club Monaco sweater.
Very solid. Benetton was a very popular store.
Long sleeve tees. Yeah. How about Varney?
Varney, that was mine.
How about the knockoff Varney? That's what you had, Bell Vegas.
Well, knockoff Varney. No, the sunglasses, you mean?
Oh, long sleeve tees were very popular as well.
That was cool. And then because also the sunglasses were big, and they had that little piece that popped out between the eyes there, right on the top of the nose, was supposed to be cool. And then the other one that was super cool was Ocean Pacific. That if you're going with a solid tee back in the day.
Samber, you're bringing it there.
Oh, absolutely. And if you went down to the United States and you could pick up some Spuds McKenzie stuff, you also, the big thing were the Johnson t-shirts.
Yeah, big Johnson.
How big is your Johnson? And that, you know, those
Ron Johns at Cocoa Beach, great selection there.
And every one of the beer companies had a dog at that time, right? That was their advertising, hey? Who didn't want to party with Spuds McKenzie? I pulled this up to show Mira, my girlfriend, who's quite a bit younger than myself, and I was trying to explain. They had Spuds McKenzie at an award show sitting on the lap with these two beautiful girls. That thing must have had more Valium put into his dog food. Like, he was so freaking comatose. Hey, honestly, you felt sad for him. You're like, oh, my God, that dog is on something. Hey.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, here in Canada, it was the same breed of dog as Don Cherry's multiple dogs that he kept replacing over the years. Yeah, all right, we'll get out. There's a you know what? We came in with a bang, and we end with a bang in hour one. All right, little sports in between. We'll come back next hour. We'll get into what's going on in Alberta when it pertains to the World Junior Selection Camp. All kinds of sound coming in because members of Hockey Canada and that World Junior program did speak to the media last night. And where do we go from here? We'll talk about that next on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.